It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
8:24 on a Thursday. It's Nate Taylor time, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Mr. Nate Taylor, what grade do you give the Kansas City Chiefs so far in the regular season?
Well, good morning, fellas. Let's give them a B+.
What? You know? Okay, thank you for coming by, Nate. We'll talk to you again next week. B+?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. CBS Sports just gave him an A+. Bob Fesco gives him an A++++. And you're going B+?
I'd give him an A-, Nate, if I'm being fair.
Okay, Mac, what are you giving him?
A+.
All right, Mac, smart.
So explain the B+, Nate.
Yeah, explain that one.
I would say it's mostly due to the fact that, I don't know, it's tough because this is not the team that was supposed to be on the field, honestly, when you looked at it on paper in August. So it's basically your perspective on how you want to grade. They are not a perfect football team. I want to make that very clear. Mm-hmm. So, that's why they're not an A. They even though their record's perfect, they are not a perfect team. They still have issues. We've talked about it before, and particularly now at cornerback. I know the competition is going to get better in the second half of the season. Left tackle is still an issue, guys, and I don't think that's going to change. The coaching has been a lot better from about week 5 on. I think the first month of the season, they were really trying to figure out, man, how do we stabilize things? Oh, my goodness, another guy got hurt.
But isn't that why they should be an A+? Because, as you mentioned, they don't have the team they thought. Like, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, gone. And they're still undefeated.
Right. But my thing is, if those guys were available, if those guys were in uniform, then they would still, I think, probably be a no, and they would be a better football team. It's just one of those things that, there's no right or wrong answer, I think, to this question. I just get the sense that, the margin of error, as we all know, is not that big. It's pretty slim. It does help that the best quarterback in football is starting to play like the best quarterback in football. And I think that's another reason why I wouldn't necessarily give the team an A, because he struggled for a sizable chunk of this season. And the last 2 weeks, he is all of a sudden, with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, which credit to the front office, he looks like the best quarterback in football again. And so that's a really positive sign. So, it's just one of those things where I look at the team and I know they're 8-0, but at the same time, man, they have so many ways that they can still improve between now and the postseason. And that should honestly scare everybody in the NFL, because if I'm giving them a B+, I know that they can actually get better in the second half of the season. And I think Patrick Mahomes and a lot of the leaders on the team know that too.
Yeah, I think you're giving them a B+, so they have a little bulletin board material now, and they go, look, this Nate Taylor guy said we're just a B+ football team. Well, we got to go show him 41-10 over the Broncos this weekend. Before we get to that game, though, we had a conversation earlier about who do you want to win tonight, and it's Cincinnati versus Baltimore. I want Baltimore to eliminate Cincinnati. Where do you stand on what's going on tonight? Because I think tonight's a big game.
Yeah, tonight will be fun. And they've already played the season, too, so you have that extra layer to it as well. I don't think Cincinnati's good, guys. I don't think they're good. And it's okay to acknowledge that. Like, if I'm giving the Chiefs a B+, like, the Bengals are a D based on their talent level, the fact that their quarterback has been, you know, an odd character this season, you know, and that even includes the choice of his hairstyle. Mm-hmm. But look, I think Baltimore's the better team. I'm really interested to see how Deontay Johnson looks. You know, he will, you know, he's basically their DeAndre Hopkins, basically after their trade. And so even though it's a short week and it's only like his second week on the team, how does he, you know, sort of incorporate himself with Zay Flowers, with obviously Derrick Henry? And the Bengals have never really done a great job containing Lamar Jackson, even though they're divisional opponents, even though they see him two times a year. Usually Lamar has some of his best games against the Bengals. I don't think that'll necessarily change. This is in Baltimore. So yeah, I mean, it'd be quite impressive if Cincinnati wins tonight. I just don't give them much of a chance just because I think there's really three teams in the AFC, and it's unfortunate because I understood that there was going to be some level of a sophomore slump and maybe he'll sort of climb out of it in the second half of the season. It doesn't help that Stephon Diggs is hurt. But I think there's just three teams at the top of the AFC, and that's the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. And so there is some continuity there from previous seasons. But Cincinnati was supposed to be better than this. I think they're too far down a hole that I just don't see them competing in this division when they haven't even played Mike Tomlin yet, who usually gets a game or two from you as well in that division.
Nate, I want to bring this up because it's Bronco week. I know that Patrick Mahomes is exceptional against the AFC West, but if you win this game, we can agree that the AFC West is over, right? I don't think we can slam dunk that now unless you beat Denver, because then you'd have a win over all three opponents. But if you win this game and you win against Buffalo, which, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs, as of right now, in DraftKings in Vegas, the Chiefs are a 1-point favorite in that game in Buffalo. If you win these next 2 weeks, and I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but I am. If you win these next 2 weeks, the AFC in general is over, right?
Yes. I tend to agree with you, Dusty. Think about it this way. The Chiefs have a real chance to sweep the AFC West. And for all those years of the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Patriots dynasty, that's what they used to do. They used to go either 5-1. Or they would sweep the AFC East. And the Chiefs have the exact, you know, similar opportunity to do it this year, even with an improved Chargers team. Now, you know, that was the closest game of you know, the divisional game so far this season. I think the Raiders are getting worse as the season goes along. I can't imagine how Bo Nix feels this week looking at the film, seeing the amount of blitzes that Steve Spagnuolo has already put on tape, and knowing that he's going to give you probably two or three new ones because you're a rookie quarterback playing in Arrowhead Stadium for the first time. I think the Chiefs, even with a short week, should feel confident that if they get up by double digits, it's going to be very difficult for Bo Nix, for that offense to you know, get into high gear and do what Baker Mayfield did on Monday night, which I thought was really impressive in a 2-minute drill, getting the team down the field and obviously scoring a touchdown. You know, Baker Mayfield has a lot of experience, which Bo Nix does not have. If they win, to your point, Dusty, if they win Sunday, the AFC West is pretty much assured. And then if they beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, based on the psychological damage that could do to one of your biggest, you know, conference rivals, it gives them a commanding lead towards the number one seed, towards home field advantage. It's something I didn't think he was going to take the question there, but when I asked Patrick after the game on Monday, hey, how difficult is it to throw in, you know, rainy conditions and obviously playing with an ankle injury, and he got to the point of like, well, I want to play here. I don't want to play anywhere else. I don't want to do what I did last year. Like, home field advantage was the words that came out of his mouth near the midway point of the season. So you can already tell from a leadership standpoint, Patrick understands exactly what you're saying, Dusty, and now he's going to try to push his teammates to ensure that, look, we don't have to get on a plane in January. We can just stay home, and the AFC can run through Arrowhead Stadium yet again. I think as long as they don't look too far ahead to Buffalo, And if they handle their business at home against Denver, then they really do have a chance to just tell everyone that you're really playing for the number two seed so that you can be as far away from the Chiefs as possible when the playoffs start.
Well, that's where I was going to go with that, Nate Taylor. It's like, if they beat Buffalo next week and they're sitting at 10-0, there's nobody in contention to have home field advantage with the Chiefs. Like, it legitimately is over. Who would you put in contention? Would it still be Buffalo, or would it be the Steelers, maybe, if they continue to win? Like,
right, it's weird. It would like kind of be the Steelers. Now, look, I don't think the Steelers are going to stay with two losses. They have, again, Baltimore to deal with on their own. They have to play Cincinnati as well. But,
and the
yeah,
Chiefs.
Like, and they have the Chiefs on Christmas Day, of course. So
it's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, there's three games that really matter on the season that are not AFC West opponents. Obviously, it's Buffalo next week. You play, you know, the Houston Texans right before Christmas, and then obviously you play the Steelers on Christmas. If you go 2 of 3 in those games, you're the number one seed. If you sweep them, obviously you're the number one seed. And the only way you would allow yourself for the race to sort of, you know, where the pack comes back to you or you, you know, come back to the pack is if you lose all three games, which I don't necessarily see at this point. So the biggest thing to watch for Sunday's game is, hey, is Patrick Mahomes' ankle as stable as it physically can be? Because I think, obviously, the bigger challenge is the following week, you know, you hope with more treatment, with more rest, you know, the strength in those tendons will get stronger for the bigger important game against Buffalo. But, yeah, I mean, Bob, if they're 10-0, they can start to really plan how to go forward with one of the more wackier second half of the seasons I've ever seen from a schedule standpoint, where you know you have these jam-packed games in this short amount of time, but man, it would be really, it'd be really comfortable if you could try to navigate that with a 10-0 record, knowing you have essentially a 3 or 4 game lead on everybody else for the number one seed.
Nate, last one before we get you out of here. We had a question from our text line today, the Jay Southland text line. It said, would you rather have in the playoffs, Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco or DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt?
Oh, I have to pick between the
See?
Two?
See, that's a great question, right? Right? Isn't that great?
I mean, thanks, text line. Love you guys. The funny thing about this is we have revisionist history, of course. Mm-hmm. I did watch last year that, I mean, I think people tend to forget, Isaiah Pacheco was incredible getting the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. Now, he did not have a good Super Bowl, but he was great in the first three playoff games. Obviously, Rashee Rice is excellent. The storyline is better for Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
If you're an actual Chiefs fan, you should if you had to pick between the two, you probably want the younger players who are coming off of injury, and I understand that, but they've done it before, and you think with the experience and the fact that they're still in their primes, they would perform at a high level. Mm-hmm. I think DeAndre Hopkins is as motivated as you could ever ask for someone in his particular status of his career right now.
Oh, I agree.
I know Kareem Hunt has played unbelievable football. Like I think if Kareem Hunt was on 25 other teams, he would not have this level of production. He would not be this consistent. He would not show this level of determination to literally get his team across the finish line in a game that like half the league loses against the Buccaneers because they're just not playing their best on their best night, or their quarterback is hurt and it sort of, you know, destroys the game plan. the better storyline. I mean, obviously, I'm a journalist. I understand what the news is, and the introspective of all this. The better story would be, I can't wait to see how DeAndre Hopkins does in a playoff game with Patrick Mahomes. But I do think the better team would be Rashee Rice and Isaiah Pacheco.
I just love the motivation of both Kareem Hunt and DeAndre Hopkins in this season because both have never been there. Both have an opportunity, Kareem to make up for lost time, DeAndre yep. Hopkins to make up for never getting the opportunity to chase a ring. That motivation to me is going to be fun to watch down the stretch with those two guys in particular.
Yeah. And the other thing too, because I was thinking about this yesterday, guys, all the things that DeAndre Hopkins did against the Buccaneers, all of it was simple stuff. Mm-hmm. It was slants. It was, you know, it was a little like, hey, give me a nice little hitch route with a little spin move on top to break a tackle in the open field or in a one-on-one matchup. Hey, can you just like, you know, get a contested catch in the middle of the field? Like, it was all simple stuff, man. As they learn more about him, as you would assume, they get Pacheco back healthy. Who knows? Maybe Hollywood Brown comes back sometime in December. As they get all these guys, the game plan will get even more specified. And all of a sudden, now you're putting that level of talent with DeAndre Hopkins with like, hey, man, we're going to put you in conflict all day. Like, whoever the cornerback safety is, because, you know, Travis Kelce still exists, obviously. I was just thinking about that. They showed the Buccaneers the most basic part of their playbook with DeAndre Hopkins. 8 catches, 86 yards, 2 touchdowns. So it can get better because him and the quarterback will obviously, you know, continue to build their own chemistry. And then when you get to the playoffs, you obviously get the best of the Chiefs' playbook. So that's what's even more fascinating about DeAndre Hopkins is not only the storyline, the motivation, the fact that this could put him over the top in terms of his candidacy for Canton down the road as a future Hall of Famer. But, man, they're actually going to, like, start using him running, like, legit routes. He ran the most basic routes on Monday, and the Buccaneers could not stop him. So, obviously, with better competition, you're going to need better plays. But if he's doing this well this soon, man, I really do want to see what that game plan looks like in a playoff game against Baltimore or Buffalo, where they find ways to scheme DeAndre Hopkins either in zone coverage or in one-on-one situations where, hey, man, you weren't showing that back in, you know, November. And that's kind of the point because the Chiefs offense continues to grow as the season moves along.
Well, Nate, we appreciate the time. I give today's interview with you a B+. I'm kidding. You're always an A+, man.
How's it feel, Nate?
Hey, there's always room to improve, right? I mean, as someone who coached youth soccer over the spring,
hey, gentlemen,
great win. We could, hey, Dean, pass the ball, my guy. Hey,
right.
Hayden, you know, can you control the touch? Control the touch. Great job winning, guys. So, yep. I mean, I get it. You know, it's all the same.
No doubt about it. Nate, we appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy the game at home at noon for once.
Hallelujah.
No doubt about
so
it, man.
So good.
Praise be, Nate. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, fellas. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.